Our scripture this morning is from the book of John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. The Word became flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was of God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or of a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
So this week I'm excited, and first of all, Dana, thank you for that song. Yeah, that was a blessing. That was very moving. I'm like, okay, I can't bawl before I preach because then but it was very good. This week, excited to head off on the first annual Men's Canada fishing trip, right? So we leave this week. We're going to catch big fish. I'm going to come back with exaggerated stories and some pictures. But I do really appreciate Steve Wood putting that together. Steve, thank you. And he's been our fearless leader, and he's got us all geared up and ready to go. So we're going to have a great, great trip. I know we are. So I am trying something a little different today. It should be kind of obvious, right? Like I'm dressed a little bit differently. I've got the pulpit kind of closer to you guys. I kind of feel better when I'm closer to you all than being further away. I've got a manuscript outline today. I'm normally a word-for-word manuscript person. Right? So God help us all. I think what I'm wanting to go for is something a little less rehearsed, a little more casual. And so I tend to rehearse stuff with my manuscript so that I can follow it almost exactly. And I've got a little, when it comes to being up here, I got a little bit of a perfectionistic issue. And it's really a fear of, you know, what I could look like if I didn't have the words, like that fear of, oh God, don't let me look that stupid in front of everybody, please. But I'm going to shed that. I'm going to stand up here and look stupid. Hopefully not. But I do hope for greater interaction with you all is kind of what I'm going for, a little more casual. I think the other challenge too is, you know, I talk a lot about this trusting the Spirit. I think our sermon last week was on the importance of really trusting the Holy Spirit in who we are. And I, for a long time, have struggled to do that in this space. Like, I pretty much stick to my script. And so I would like to get into a place where I could trust the Spirit of God more to move in me and to be able to speak out of that. And so that's actually why I have the coffee mug this morning, not so much because I want to drink coffee while I preach, but the coffee mug is here to remind me, slow down, listen, it's okay. I appreciate you helping me with coffee, but that's kind of what the purpose of the mug is today, is to remind me to slow down. So we'll see how this goes. You all are my guinea pigs. We'll see how this goes. Okay? So the line that I really want to focus on right now for our time together is this kind of line from our scripture text. And the line is, he was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. Would you all say that with me, please, for those of you that can see it? Let's say that together. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. The word for world there, like if you want to do a little bit of a Greek kind of search and kind of get to the roots of that world thing, the Greek there is cosmos, right? Cosmos is world. And so cosmos, of course, we have the word that we use, cosmology, right? So cosmology is this understanding of the cosmos and the universe and all things and how the earth kind of fits within that. Oddly enough, cosmology and cosmetology are very close, and I don't know why. I don't know why they're so close, but they are. And so cosmology, when it's talking about the world, it is meant for us to understand it is all things, right? That in Christ, all things were made. You have to understand, too, that in their day, the cosmos was differently understood than our day, right? And so everything kind of revolved around the earth. And so was kind of their basic understanding. So they thought, yeah, you can see everything from here, right? And so the world that Christ made through himself was all things, the cosmos, the universe. There's also another meaning in that word that's really interesting. And that is that within that particular understanding of the Greek there is that the world, the cosmos, is set against Jesus. Set against. So even though Jesus was the maker of all things, that in some ways all things are set against him for whatever reason. And you really pick that up in the scripture, right? That's kind of very prevalent within the text. That's what's going on. So here's my question for us this morning. Here's what I want us to ponder together. How was the world made through Jesus, but it didn't recognize him? How was the world, how was the cosmos made through Jesus, and yet it did not recognize him? And so the deeper question for us today is, and what about us in that? What about us? What are the ways that we are set against Jesus in this world, in our lives, and everything going on around us? And we don't even really know it. Like, I don't think the world, the cosmos, knew that it was set against its creator, its maker. It just kind of got that way. And so I know we're all Christians here, and we all love Jesus, and we're all in church this morning, but I think we all still need to be careful and cautious that we are not, in fact, setting ourselves up against Jesus, who is prevalent within our world. And so that begs the question, how are we right now missing Jesus? How are we missing Jesus? Because there's a good chance that we are. Because he is still present in this world that he has made. Like, he is present within it. It was made through him. We might even say of him. And so there are probably ways that we are missing seeing him in our lives. I've got the next slide for you. Pull this slide up. This is called a word cloud illustration, right? Does anybody know how you make a word cloud illustration? Huh? Yes. So what he said was, so they actually have these things online, and so I took the entire scripture passage, I took all of it, and I put it in this little generator box. And then the box, based upon repetition of words, makes those words repeated the most big, and those words repeated the least small. And so as you stare at this, what words do you notice? What words can you see really well? God, light, world, word, made. Yeah. Yeah. So those are the words that you can, that are popping out at you. Why, once again, why are they popping out at you? Why are those the words you notice? They're bigger, right? They're bigger. I can actually see them. So we're seeing them. We're seeing them because they're bigger, and we're seeing the bigger words because they're the more repetitive words. And so, like, we're picking up on it more often. Easier to see things are bigger. They're more repetitive. So for those of you in the back, are there words on here that you can't even make out? Or can you see them all? Steve, can you see all those words back there? You can? What's the word below made? Okay, all right. Well, you guys can see. Did anybody? Yeah, yeah. Woo! Did anybody have, like, was there anybody that didn't even try to see the smaller words? Like, you were like, yeah, why even try, right? So I think that was when I kind of looked at it. I immediately looked at the bigger words and thought, yeah, there's some other words on there, but they're kind of smaller. And so my question is, we kind of look at this as we see the words that are repeated most often. The question is, do you want to see Jesus in unexpected places? Like, do you? Yeah, well, sometimes we do, right? Sometimes we don't. And I would also ask, do you want to see Jesus in unexpected people, right? In unexpected people. And sometimes we do, and sometimes we don't, right? I've got another picture for you. You remember this guy? Who's this guy? Waldo! Yeah, you guys all had kids that probably loved the Waldo character, right? So this is Waldo. And if you remember, here's the thing with Waldo, right? Like, they had the big pictures, and then Waldo is someplace in the big picture, and you got to figure it out. So here's show the big picture. Okay, somebody tell me where Waldo is. And if you can find him from where you at, I'm going to give you $20, because I was like looking at the screen right up in front of it, and I couldn't find Waldo. Like, I just couldn't do it. So let me ask you a question. As you look at this, and you're looking for Waldo up there, and there's probably one Waldo, right? There's supposed to be one Waldo in that picture. Why is it hard in that picture to find Waldo? What's the prominent thing about Waldo? Stripes, right? And so what are your eyes drawn to when you're looking for Waldo? Stripes, yes, and there are stripes all over that, aren't there? There's all kinds of different places where there are stripes. That's what your eyes are looking for. That's what you want to see, right? You want to see those things. And just a little pun here, you know, by his stripes you will find Waldo, right? Like, by his stripes we are made clean. By Waldo's stripes we will find him. So there's only one Waldo on there, but there are a lot of things that look very similar to Waldo, because there are a lot of things on there that are kind of in stripes, which is what makes it challenging, right? But what if this, here's why I show this, what if Jesus is working, living, loving all around you, but you are missing him? Right? Like, what if you're missing? And I don't mean in the literal, like, Jesus is actually here. But once again, all things were made through Christ. And so isn't Christ's presence, many ways, everywhere? If we are looking for him. And perhaps, if not, perhaps we're looking too narrowly at people. Perhaps we're looking too narrowly at places. And that keeps us from finding Jesus in many places in our lives. So let me ask you a question. I got three questions here that we're going to talk about. Let me ask you, where do you expect to find Jesus? Where are you expecting to find Jesus, so to speak? Church, right, we're here. Sure hope we find Jesus in church. Yep, Where else? What'd you say? People's hearts. Yep, good-hearted people. Jesus is there. At home, find Jesus with our family members, except those of you that do not, which can be hard sometimes. Where else do you expect to find Jesus? You're cheating. Everywhere. But that's beautiful. That's beautiful. You know where I'm going with this. You know where I'm going with this. But where is it easy? Where is it easy to find Jesus? In the Bible. What, Marcia? Happy places. Yeah, there's Jesus in happy places. Right. Praise music. Yeah, we're listening to praise music. There's Jesus in the praise music. Hospitals, yeah, healing places, especially those hospitals. I mean, isn't it amazing that we still have hospital chaplains within secular places? And so a hospital chaplain comes in, and that's such a beautiful thing. You find Jesus in that moment caring for you. Any place else or any other people that you expect to find to see Jesus? Huh? In your heart. Yeah, in your own heart. Yeah, in your own heart. Expect to find Jesus there. Very good. Okay, so now I got to ask the counter question. Where do you not expect to see or find Jesus? Angry people. Yep, kind of hard. Walmart! Oh, that's good. Angela's probably not with us this morning because she's working at Walmart, right? doing pharmacy stuff. Yeah, maybe she would probably agree, though. Maybe she would be like, ew. Politics. Yeah, maybe all politics, maybe the other party, right? Maybe the other side of politics is where we wouldn't expect to see Jesus. Good. People that aren't like you. Yeah. Huh? What are you saying?
Out to eat?
Yeah, might not. Might not. Any others where you, any places or people where you wouldn't expect to have Jesus show up? Driving on the interstate? You got all the good ones today. You got all the good ones, yeah. On the interstate. You know what? That's probably where I lose Jesus too. That's probably where Jesus leaves my heart. Yeah, like I lose my religion when I get behind the wheel and... Sorry, that's probably me. Yes, on the interstate. Any place else? We're not. Yeah, war, conflict, all of those places we would not expect to find Jesus. Good. So, and you might even say non-religious people. Like maybe non-religious people we wouldn't expect, or maybe other religious people. He does. You are, do you... You totally, she's like leading me over here. Okay, last question. So this is really important, right? Because we all just said, where is he not? So we actually all have a framework. Whether you realize it or not, you already have a framework. And so how do you know you have brushed up against Jesus in people, in places? Peaceful, smile and attitude. Yeah. What? Helpfulness when people are helpful to you. Kindness when people are kind to you. What? Grace when people are graceful towards you. Yeah, the Grinch. Your heart gets bigger and bigger because of this experience, folks. Yeah. Fruits of the Spirit. You want to rattle all those off? Peace, patience, kindness, meek. Self-control. Boom, she got it. She knows them all. Justice-seeking. Yeah, and sometimes, you know what's kind of interesting is somebody said angry people, where we don't see them, angry people. And sometimes angry people are that justice-seeking side of Jesus that we would not, that appalls us, and yet perhaps there is a way in their anger even, yeah, that they're doing some of that work. Yeah. Yeah, I think you guys hit a lot of them. Those are all the ways, some of the ways that we see Jesus kind of showing up for us. And so I think, too, that's, and we've kind of started splashing these, right? And so these signs, you're welcome to kind of purchase them, to put these up in your yard. We vote for kindness. We vote for kindness. Now, in retrospect, we probably should have done the letters in black instead of blue, right? So I kind of missed that. But we've got like a red heart and a blue heart, right? When we're talking about politics, like, that's kind of the point of this sign, is that you can find kindness on both sides of the political ballot. There's a way that we see Jesus on both sides. And so that's really what we're advocating for. It is important that you understand what we're advocating for in this, because when people see the United Methodist thing and they come and they ask you, what's this all about? Like, which party is it that is, for kindness? And you can say, well, we are for kindness found in all people, that all people can choose to be about Christ and his work. And so we would encourage you to get those, and we're going to run that through the politics season into November. And there may be some of you that really need that reminder. So if you just want to buy one for your bedroom, like, that's cool. Like, you just wake up, you look at that sign, you turn on the news, and you kind of head out and do your thing, right? So we started this conversation with the line, with that one phrase. And the one phrase from the text was, he was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. Right, church, you can help the world see him by recognizing him in them, right? And speaking to people in that way as if they are Christ, and being kind to them as if they are Christ. Little story. So the challenge is to see Jesus in unexpected places and in unexpected people. Be looking for that. About a month ago, I talked about how I went to St. Paul Seminary, started there to become a pastor, and then I left there after a year. I was at that time just strongly, strongly conservative, and it felt very, very, very liberal. And so that was really, really hard for me at that time in my life. And just arguments all the time. And that was, I guess it was part of the seminary experience. Like, they want you to flush out what you believe. And so the only way to do that is to kind of let it all come out and to have those conversations that usually turn into arguments. And in that first year, they broke us into small groups. And so you had a small group of your peers, and you did class and met with them and had these conversations. And there was a lady in my group, and this lady, she was actually a part of the Unity Church. The Unity Church. And I guess in the Unity Church, you do either all or some of your MDiv, your Master's in Divinity, at another denomination's seminary, because that's how Unity is, right? Like, I don't know if you know anything about Unity, but they tend to be very kind of liberal in that way, and kind of, you know, be aware of all the different ways to come closer to God. And so, having said that, in that day, like, this lady and I agreed on nothing together, right? And so it was pretty heated. Like, we would have these kind of arguments, and she was coming off real hard one way, I was coming off real hard the other way, and we just never agreed. And so we were having an argument one day about, I don't even know what, like, it doesn't matter, it was an argument, and we were on opposite sides of the argument. And we got done arguing, and I was pretty heated, like spit on you heated. And she looked at me when we were done arguing, and she said, well, we're obviously, once again, on opposite sides on this thing. She said, but I love you, and you're my brother. I'm glad you're here, and I'm glad you're in my group. And I was like, what? I want to spit on you right now. And you're like, I love you. Give me, and I'm just like... I didn't feel that way about her. And in that moment, like, I saw that. I saw that in myself. I saw that I was in no way felt Jesus was in her, right? She was way too out there. And yet what I can tell you is that that moment pointed out something in me. And that was 25 years ago, and I still haven't forgot that moment. I mean, I just haven't. And later I thought, yeah, I want to be a little more like her in that way. That she saw Jesus in me, and she loved me in that moment, even when we were not in agreement on what we were talking about. And so, church, I'm just going to encourage you this week to pay attention. Pay attention. Pay attention to the conversations you're having, the thoughts that you're having. Pay attention to the people that you're talking to and the places that you're going. And I would challenge you to see Jesus in unlikely places and to treat people as such and to try to do that as best you can. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. I thank you. Jesus, I don't even know what that lady's name was. I don't know what happened to her. All I know is that we had an argument and a conversation, and she showed me a love that I did not possess within me. And it pointed something out to me. And so, Lord, I would ask that you would help all of us to recognize the big cosmos deal that all things were made through Christ, that all things will be reconciled back to Christ. And so help us to be a part of that story, to love other people in that way, that they might know the beauty of being a Christ follower. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.